So, hello everybody, it's Frank here from the Breeder Project, and we are now in part three of seeking opportunities with Igor in Curitiba in southern Brazil. Hello, Igor, good to see you again for the third time.
Hello, Frank. Good to see you as well. I'm very excited to share a little bit about my story.
Yeah, I think the news, the suspense is increasing. We should maybe do a little bit of a drum roll here. 2 weeks ago, we were moving in the direction of yes, it looks good, and you've been talking, and it is everything is moving in the right direction, but no decisions have been made. But before we go into the newest installments of this story, I do have a question. I have begun listening to some of Spencer Greenberg's podcasts, and I put myself in a position of a non-native speaker of English. And I must say, it is probably incredibly challenging for somebody to speak with him because he has a fairly strong accent, an East Coast accent. He is extremely precise in his words, and he doesn't speak slowly.
I think that's why we are getting along. I don't speak as long as well.
Okay. Is my assessment correct? What is it like when you speak with him?
First of all, I noted he speaks differently from another because I have experience from living in California, and I listen to a lot of things from people. From people in California, because I'm a follower of startup founders, Google, Facebook, and they all are based on California. And I never stopped to think about that. I just felt it was different, but I didn't know. But now I know because you said it's like a East Coast accent, right? Yeah, I didn't, I had no idea what it was the reason, but I feel it's harder to understand. I don't know if you agree, but I feel like he has some dictation issues, but maybe it's just me not knowing the accent deeply.
Yeah, no, he does. He
He does? Okay.
does. Some of his words come out quite slurred. I did notice, but that's not untypical.
Okay.
And when you, of course, listen to some of the people that he speaks with, then you can really see the difference. But
Yes.
you have
And
difficulty understanding him.
not so much, not so much. I can understand it pretty well. I would say like my understanding in English is it's almost perfect, I think. It's very rare when I don't understand something. Something about him, I agree. He uses some words that are quite difficult to connect. It's like if someone was speaking in Portuguese with me about those subjects, would be hard. Like, and he is speaking English, so I agree. And that's something I really enjoy, and I'm very excited about that because something sounds like silly to say that. I don't know if it's smart to say, but something I miss in my life is talking to very smart people. Of course, I have a lot of smart friends. My girlfriend is 100 times smarter than me. But sometimes I feel like I want to challenge myself to understand difficult concepts. And when I talk to Spencer, I feel like I'm my cognitive
Capability.
skills, yes,
Yep.
capabilities. Thank you. I'm being challenged, and something he's very good is to ask questions. Why? Can you explain me better? So I feel very challenged, and so I agree with everything.
I mean, yeah, I find that too, that he uses a different type of vocab, and he has a very interesting way of expressing himself, and it does require 100% concentration. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there's a handful of podcasts that I listen when I walk through the vineyards here, and you can sort of afford to zone out and not listen or skip one or two words or something like that. But with Spencer Greenberg, you really need to listen to every single word because they are somehow connected with each other.
Yeah. There is a podcast I really like. I have been listening for 2 years now. The name is Lex Friedman podcast. He's a engineer from MIT, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very smart because he's like an engineer, you know, he speaks like an engineer and he always invites people. Now he has been inviting very popular people because the podcast is famous, but before that, he used it to invite scientists, but not popular scientists, like some PhD in biology of bacteria, who was not famous, is not popular, has not the talent of understand complex things in simple words. And I always thought, oh my God, I want to have this kind of conversation someday in my life because I felt very excited. And now it seems like I'm going toward this end and everything seems good.
Yeah, I mean, when I listened to the Spencer Greenberg podcast, I thought, whoa, you know, I'm just beginning to walk down this podcast route here. And, you know, maybe in a couple of years' time, I'll look at these or listen to these and think, wow, they are really, really primitive and raw. But you also have to develop your own style and your own method and your own way of doing things to make it a little bit more different. Yeah. So we're moving away from book recommendations to podcast recommendations.
Yeah, I'm controlling myself.
Okay. So let's catch up. The latest news since our last meeting is that you had a chat and that you reached a form of agreement that you will be in a 2-week project.
Yes.
It's a test that if everything works, then you will be part of his team. There's a lot of gaps in this, Igor. Can you please fill them and tell us about this conversation? This particular one, not the ones that you've had afterwards. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So before I tell, let me make a comment about the book's recommendation. It's kind of funny because some people in my last company, they always ask for recommendations because they are kind of struggling to manage everything. And so I wrote an article. I have a project and I wrote an article with 17 recommendations of books about operations. Books I really enjoy and I really recommend. And I went to visit my girlfriend and she said, fuck you, Igor. People don't read 17 years at 17 books in a lifetime. And you are recommending 17 only for operations.
Well,
oops.
There's always one. I'm reading two. I'm reading two books in parallel at the moment. I started, I've forgotten the name of the person, but he's one of the co-founders of 80,000 Hours, and he's written a book about altruism and how to make the world better or how to do things better.
Yeah, I want to read this book. Do you know, I can send you the link later, but they give you a book, not a sample, like the real book. They ship to everywhere. They just don't ship to Brazil and some countries in Latin America, but for sure they will ship in Europe, so I can send you a link if you want the actual book.
So that's a really good book. And then I'm reading a novel by an American author called Russo, which is sort of set in Martha's Vineyard in Connecticut. Old college graduates meeting up again after God knows how many years, etc. So I've got two books. So I'm 15 away. Yeah.
I have a question for you. You're right. Like your writing has a very unique style. Like, I can like now if I read something in the internet, I could recognize that it is one of your texts because it's very unique. What do you attribute to this style? Like, it's conscious or you just like you have a lot of reference up from this style? How did you develop this unique style?
There's two parts to this. There's probably something in me, in my DNA, which produces this subconsciously. Mm-hmm. The other part is that I listened to this in Europe. There's a publishing house. It's based in London and in Zurich. It's a publishing house called Monocle 24. And they produce a combination of podcasts and radio programs. They have an extremely good choice of printed magazines, very high quality, not cheap, comes out once a month, very high quality in journalism, but also in the feel of the magazine, the tactile of the magazine. They are incredibly positive in their outlook. So you stay abreast of what's happening, but they sort of give you a helicopter view of everything, and it still remains very, very positive. And it goes back to what I wrote in your LinkedIn post over the weekend. They tend to find companies or people or individuals who are small, and they will talk about them, and some design company somewhere or some small entrepreneur. And they also have a very Mediterranean feel. And one of the editorial team there is an Australian called Andrew Miller. And he is incredibly good with words. And he is also quite ironic.
I love it.
And somehow, I've been listening to him for about 6 months now. And somehow, he speaks to me, and it seems to produce the same style of writing, albeit I focus on things that affect me or that involve my life. Yeah. So what I wrote in for preparation tomorrow is basically me musing about these topics of time and time management and task management, and I throw everything that is possibly doable into this topic. And then I somehow seem to have this flair of being ironic or maybe even a bit cynical sometimes. It's something that comes out. I don't know how long it will last. It might dry up, but again, also what I do is I visualize somebody in front of me. And I'm going to, as if I'm having a conversation with this person. So I'm going to write the text. And it usually flows out in one go. So this text, I started writing this text on Friday or Saturday. No, Friday, I started writing this text for tomorrow. And then I let it sort of rest and looked at it over the weekend. And this morning, I finished it. It took me about another 3 hours to actually rewrite the text, edit it a little bit, and then make the audio recording to it. Yeah, so.
I don't know if you know it, but when I read your text, I remember of the Hitchhiker Guide to
Hitchhikers
the
to the
Galaxy.
Galaxy. Yes.
Yes.
The
It's
answer is
it.
four. The answer is 42, but is the question the right question? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a cousin that has it for you too.
Again, another series of books,
Yes.
which goes in the same direction. And I suppose it's also my time in Australia as a kid and living in London for quite some time as well. And I think British humor in the 1980s and 1990s was far better than what they produce today. And it's all these things that flow into my writing DNA. And then if I have the right subject and I'm in the right frame of mind, then it just bang, it just
Just
flows out.
comes.
It just flows out. That's a nice distraction, and thank you for a little bit of self-promotion here. Can we get back to the subject at hand? 2 weeks, paid project, 2 weeks. If you fit, you will be hired. So what happened? And what's the,
Yeah.
I don't know how much you can say and how much it has to remain confidential. I don't want to violate any of that. Tell us the story.
Okay. So I don't think I told you the story about how we talked. I think I just said we talked and we would do the page project, right? We didn't talk about that on
No, no.
call. So the story was like last Friday, not this one, like the one before. My girlfriend, she's applying to a PhD in Los Angeles. As I told you, she's way smarter than me. So she's doing that. And she had to do a test in a small town like 300 kilometers from where we live, and it was a holiday in Brazil. So she got noticed like the day before. So I went with her because to support her, and she's injured, her knee is injured. So I went with her, and the plan was we would travel early in the morning. We would arrive at the place on Friday, and my talk with Spencer would be on the afternoon, like 5 p.m. in this Friday. But it was a terrible, terrible, terrible traffic, like to the city. Like it's unbelievable how people can be stuck in traffic like we did. And like one trip that should have taken 3 hours, 2.5 hours took 7 hours. Yes, it was very bad because it was holiday and we were going towards the coast, right? So we started to plan what we would do, and we planned, okay, let's stop in the first gas stations we find here. So we did this plan. So we stopped in a gas station. It's a nice one, by the way. And I did the talk with Spencer in the gas stations, like in the middle of a road in Brazil. And she waited like very kindly, and we talked a lot. I think I did very, very bad. I don't know. Maybe I was nervous. Maybe I wasn't prepared. Maybe the environment wasn't very good, but I didn't feel I performed as I wanted. But Spencer, he's very patient. He asked me a lot of questions. He kind of liked the my spirit, like the way I talk, everything I did. And then he proposed to do a test of 3 weeks. We did this deal, so it's a paid project, and I kind of initially I felt like underestimated because I thought, oh, why? Like he think I'm not able to do that, and I got a few arrogant feelings in the beginning, but after that I thought, like in the end of the day, I am a random guy, Brazilian guy, who approached him. And I like he has no idea who I am or what I'm able to do. I can be a very crazy people person. Like I was talking to my girlfriend. He could think that I'm trying to work to a American company just to get the visa, which is not the case, but he could think that. And in the end, I got very happy with this deal. And it was on Friday. So in the next Wednesday, last week, he sent me everything I needed to know. We talked to a little bit, and I'm already working the project, and I feel very confident because it's not easy, but I know everything I have to know to make it happen. I know I can surprise him with a lot of things that are not very common sense, and I'm excited and I'm confident. So we are communicating a lot, and I am in this process, like in this test, you know?
Okay, so let's just go back to the conversation at the petrol station, at the gas station. How did you speak with him? Did you use Zoom via your mobile, or did you use WhatsApp, or what medium did you actually use? Because I could imagine cell phone to cell phone is not going to be
Yeah, no, we
key.
did it through Google Meets.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, we had the invitation. By the way, I was in a very small cafe in the gas station, and my girlfriend was beside me. And there was a couple, like a couple of old people. And my girlfriend told me that they were looking very badly to me, you know, like they are kind of annoyed because I speak very loud. Like when I am on call, I don't know why, but I speak very loud. And my girlfriend was say, told me, oh, I was ready to stop them. Like, don't interrupt.
I can imagine. I can imagine because of the quality of the line between southern Brazil and upstate New York is probably not the best anyway.
Yeah, and it was a very important. The internet actually was very good. It's not common, but it was very good. Usually, gas station internet is very bad, but the thing was, it was a very important call, you know. And the couple of old people were annoyed with me.
Well, they've probably forgotten about it, or they're you're now famous in their circle of friends. There was this young man there, and he was talking very loudly.
Speaking loudly English.
Yeah. How totally rude. Yeah. The project, is it, you said it was a little difficult or maybe a little challenging, but it was when he told you about it, how did you feel about it? You say, oh, this is interesting, I'd like to do this, or it was easy, or how did you react to this project, the content of the project?
It was very interesting for me because in the first place, he has a project. It's the project he's most involved with, which is called Clear Thinking. So he himself is very involved because he's the podcast host. He writes on the website. He really, I can sense he really enjoyed that and he values that. So the project is, there is a era of knowledge in digital marketing. Probably you have heard about, which is called SEO, like search engine optimization.
Yeah.
And it was a, I liked the challenge because it's a kind of thing that everyone know what is, but when you have to implement something, it's very hard because there are a lot of details. There are a lot of analysis to be done, a lot of tools, and I have this knowledge and, I consider myself good at it. So I said, oh, nice. I will do a great job because, in the second place, like it's very difficult to find professionals with real knowledge of SEO. Like it's really hard. Like some professionals that can put everything together because you have to understand about the keywords, like which keywords people use, what they search, what's the competitive, how competitive those keywords are. You have to understand about content. You have to be a good writer to know where to put those keywords, when it makes sense, when it doesn't make sense. And you also have to know about the technical background of a website because a lot of things, it's technical. You have to fix like sitemaps. You have to index web pages on Google. You have to deal with the speed of website, the responsiveness. And it's very hard. Even in Brazil, it's really hard to find some professional. I'm excited.
Well, good for you, because I sort of try to do that as best as I can. And then I capitulate because it is, you really need to know what you're doing. And
yes.
And the problem is that, of course, the friends at Google and wherever else, they know that there are these SEO experts and they want to stay one step ahead. Yeah, so you're constantly changing, chasing Google and co.
Yes. And one thing it's worth mentioning is that the website Clear Thinking, like I don't know if you had the opportunity to read it, but it's a very rich content. Like they have many articles, like very good written articles and research based. They have quizzes about everything you can imagine, like about your political ideology. They have a gender inclination test, I think that how it's called. They have a lot of tests, over 30 quizzes, that and it's very good, very complex quizzes. It's not like some like just viral internet thing, you know. And so they have a lot of potentials, but for, and it's common, like it's not, I would say it's 99% of the cases. Like the people who built the site and the people who think in the strategy, they are not prepared to think from the SEO perspective. So they miss, like they leave a lot of important things aside. And this is the case of Clear Thinking. So we have small fixes that will bring a lot of results, and it's always good. It's always good.
So you're busy working away, even though you probably haven't signed a contract or any, but that's by the by. You submit your results, you submit your work, and if he's happy, then you should get a job.
I think like my feelings about that is like he's trying to understand if I'm serious, like, and if I like, and if everything, if the things I will do make sense, like it's rational. Because we talked about that like twice now, and I told him that like in 2 or 3 weeks, it's very hard to see any results. Like, can happen, but it's really difficult to move the needle in 2 or 3 weeks. And he said, "Oh, okay, I'm fine with that." So I think my feeling is just he wants to know if I'm serious, no? So
Okay.
that's why I'm quite confident, because like I did a lot of things already. I have a lot of spreadsheets. He will know I'm serious.
Okay. What is the carrot he is dangling in front of you? Should all this go in the right direction? What is the carrot that you're looking at?
So it's a long-term job, like a long-term job, because he needs a head of marketing, and he had hired 2 people before knowing me. One of them is still working and has a bunch of projects, and the other one left. I don't know the reason, but he left. So he's seeking to someone to occupy a position. It's not like freelancing, you know. So
Okay.
that's the carrot. And like makes me very excited, because I like this new challenge, like doing things in English. Of course, I have to learn a lot of things. I always have to learn a lot of things, and working to something I really believe, and I feel excited. So when I read the articles, when I talk to him, when I listen to podcasts, I really like this subject. It's something I really was missing in my previous life.
Because there is something that's beginning to crystallize in my mind, and I'm not sure whether it's true or not. Is there a new type of entrepreneur in the millennial generation and in the Gen Z? Is there a new type of entrepreneur emerging, and does Spencer fit this mold? That this entrepreneur is altruistic, not out for huge profits, looking for sustainability, and just basically wants to be a decent human being and still run a company to make a profit, because that makes economic sense, but not to have this extreme aggressive capitalistic system that we had learned in the 60s, 70s, especially in the 80s with deregulation of the stock markets, until that all came crashing down in the early 2000s and then in 2008. So I have this feeling, is there a new type of entrepreneur slowly moving through the system, and people like Spencer Greenberg will be the future?
There's a very good reflection. Maybe, yeah. I don't know, but wouldn't like the effective altruism movement, it's very strong now, but it's still very small, you know. So maybe it's something that will grow a lot. So like in the process of knowing people and applying for jobs, I have met like a lot of companies that are profitable, like they sell, that like they are in business, like real business, but they are very altruistic at the same time. Like they sell, but they sell things that actually bring value. I don't know how it's gonna go like towards, because I don't know, maybe the system is stronger. I don't know if it will be a mainstream thing, you know, but I'm quite sure it exists and it will keep existing. My question is, does it gonna be mainstream? Like I don't think so, but I may be wrong. I think it's hard to imagine this being like a huge movement to mobilize millions of people around the world, you know.
Well, you see, there is actually, it eludes me, but I can dig it out. There is a similar sort of structure in Germany, which works along similar guidelines, and they do a sustainability balance sheet based on 1,000 questions, I think it is. And if you can answer these companies, or these questions, then these companies have a high degree of sustainability, to the point that when the pandemic hit Europe, they actually managed to get through the pandemic much better than a lot of other companies, because they just thought differently. And when you start connecting all the various dots, that are in the landscape, then you start thinking, well, maybe there is something bigger there, but we just can't see it, yeah, because we are too focused on the likes of Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and so on, because they are just so so big, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
and also something I like to follow the stock market here in Brazil. And it's very interesting when you like when you analyze huge companies like let's say like Petrobras, which is the company that control the not control but explore the oil here in Brazil.
Yeah,
like they are huge, and like they don't have like they don't have that much space to grow anymore. So they start to be more like. Like, of course, they look to profit, but they understand they can't grow like so much more. You know, there are a lot of companies like that. And those companies usually they distribute dividends because what happens is if I am a small company, like I will not distribute dividends because I want to use the money to grow faster and more. So, but when a company is very huge, like, and they understand that it cannot grow more than the size it is, we start to distribute dividends. So maybe it's something that's going to happen, you know? Let's say, what's the limit of growth of, let's say Facebook, for example, Meta, like, what's the limit, you know? So when they meet the plateau, maybe they start to think more altruistic. Maybe it's an illusion. I don't know, but it's a very good point. Like, I would like to see that because it's kind of philosophical to say that, but like, just doesn't make sense. Like you grow a company to, like you create your problems to solve the problems you created. And it's make a very toxic loop to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that was the hidden message in my reply to Elon Musk on your LinkedIn post. The other extreme is, albeit it's an incredibly small. It's actually a bakery. There is an English, Israeli, Italian, I think, chef called Yotam Ottolenghi. He's very popular in the United Kingdom, and. He made a film about the cooking scene in Jerusalem, and then he takes some recipes and he then adapts them to his own style. And he tells the story of a small bakery that has done nothing but bake traditional flatbread for five generations.
Wow.
And that's what they that's what they do. And this small, humble bakery is the best bakery in all of Jerusalem. It crosses all the political divides. Everybody goes there. And they have done nothing but bake this flatbread for generation after generation after generation. And for me, that was an example of, well, you don't need to grow, but if you provide consistency, then you have enough to live off, probably to save, to reinvest in whatever has to be reinvested in, and that's the business model. Yeah, it just is very, very simple and basic. Yeah, and it survives for a very long period of time. And
yeah,
yes. So different way of doing things.
Like just to contribute, I think like we have plenty of examples of small business that strive for generations. But like from my experience, it's like it's a very small percentage because like when your company is small, like you like the market keep evolving. Like if you don't evolve with the market, the odds that you're gonna survive is very low. That's the truth. So if I sell like car insurance. And I am small, like if I don't grow, like it's very difficult. I survive for many years. So I agree, but like being small is not good. It's not always good. You know, sometimes you have to grow. You're like, you are forced to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, I think it's also the business. I mean, everybody eats bread. So
yes. Yeah, exactly.
Kind of. Okay. So as you have spoken more and more with Spencer Greenberg, how has your image of him developed? because at the beginning of this series, we were just sort of, okay, he's a man who produces a lot of content, a mathematician, highly intelligent, has an interesting business model, but it was a fairly blank sheet. How has the image of him evolved over the course of the last 6 weeks?
It didn't change that much because although we talked more times, we don't have a level of intimacy yet. But I would say like he seems like I have only good feelings about him. Like he seems a very, first of all, open person because like on his position to me and like give opportunities, I think I really value that. Like when I put myself in his place, I think, I don't know if I would trust, but that's one thing. And like something I have been enjoying about talking to him is that sometimes we gonna start a video call, for example, we always like, we do small talk because like in my mind, it's a good sign, when people care about make the other person feeling good. Maybe I'm just being crazy, but when people do small talk, like if I don't know you, chatting the same time, like on video call or in person, of course, you do small talk with me, like I have a good feeling that like you want me to feel comfortable. I always felt like that, when someone is in, like you are in a dinner and you see that someone is like being excluded because, he or she don't know someone, doesn't know someone, and you go and do small talk. I feel like that. So I have a good feeling. So we talked about the FTX. I don't know if you are following this trend.
It's hard not to notice, especially when about what 10 creditors have lost about $1.5 billion. I mean,
That's crazy.
but for me, it is also a question: how can anything like that go unnoticed? I mean, these are staggering sums.
It's regulation. When people, I have studied a lot of blockchain and Bitcoin stuff, but something I think most of the people miss the point is like the argument for blockchain is like you decentralize everything and you won't have regulations. That's the argument. But like I want regulations. If I'm putting my money somewhere, I want someone to regulate
Well,
it. So
I think the days of the Wild West of crypto are coming to an end, and
yeah, I think
that was
so.
the final nail in the coffin, because losing $3 billion, I would just like one per mil of that. Yeah, it would make me happy. Yeah. Okay, so we're heading into this. The hero of the story, i.e., you, is still being tested. It's a very cryptic line. That's a cryptic message that you sent to me earlier today.
I was inspired.
You were inspired. Okay, so, Mr. Hero, tell me about this testing that you.
I don't know why it seemed like I think I was I guess I was thinking the hero's journey. And like
You're going to ride into
of
the
course,
sun. You're going to ride in the Brazilian sunset somewhere in the central plains, where all the agriculture of the country is. You're going to ride your horse there, and then the screen credits come up, and they say, and then directed and motivated by Spencer Greenberg.
Kind of that because like I was in my comfortable zone. I got challenged. I accept the challenge. I found a mentor, which is you. Like I entered the challenge. Now I'm being tested. I will win the challenge, and everything will be okay. So here, that's the hero journey.
Okay, well, you know that I have a meeting with Spencer Greenberg in 45 minutes. Yeah, I didn't want
Oh,
I didn't want to tell you this, but he sort of he's he, you know he came up to me, said, "Who's this Igor guy?"
really? Crazy guy.
"Who's this punk? Who is this punk from Brazil who wants to do some job work for me?"
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I'm afraid I have to disappoint you there. Have you discussed meeting face to face with him?
No, not yet. I feel like I'm a little bit scared. Not, I don't know if scared is the right word, but I don't think it's a good idea to talk about a meeting person or going to United States because, like, I fear he thinks I'm just doing that for the visa, you know?
Yeah,
Because
okay.
and like I have the visa to go to United States. I have been there many times, and I can go for 10 years. But I don't know. I just feel like it can plant a bad seed in his mind. So I didn't mention, and I don't know if I will mention it soon, you know. I want to prove myself and build the trust, and then we can talk about I go to United States to meet him.
It puts an interesting perspective in this whole process because there you are, you have a proven track record. You come from a country that is the fifth biggest country in land mass size in the world. It has one of the largest populations, and it is somewhere around the 10th biggest economy on this planet. Yet, for some reason, you guys don't have the best reputation.
Yes.
Maybe if you guys win the World Cup this year, then that might do something for you. But this is one of these contradictions, isn't it? That you come from the biggest economy in South America, the 10th biggest in the world, and yet you're treated like a third world country or a developing country. How does that,
Yeah.
from your perspective, how does that work, or how does that make you feel?
Actually, I think it's like maybe it's my judgment, wrong judgment, but I feel like United States, it's a very targeted country to everyone. So like I wouldn't think this hypothesis if I was dealing with someone from France, for example. But as it is he's American, I feel like Americans have de dealt more with this kind of things, you know, because a lot of people go to United States in like illegally and work illegally, so they are kind of vaccinated. In Brazil, we have this expression, so they are vaccinated against the people trying to immigrate at any cost, you know. But
So
like from my perspective, I don't feel bad. By the way, like I have traveled a lot in Europe, Canada, United States. And everyone loves Brazil, you know. I don't feel like we are like very we I don't feel we are underestimated in the world.
I can go along with that. Certainly my conversations with you and Isma, and to a certain extent now Rosie, sort of have painted a totally different picture of Brazil.
Cool.
It's certainly not.
So we are the only Brazilians that breed us so far.
Yeah, but we need to talk about that.
Okay.
But I also want to I also want to balance this a little bit, because without actually knowing about it, but I did sort of set the limit of the community at 150, not knowing that there was actually a mathematical system behind it
Oh,
in
really?
Monsieur Dunbar.
Yes.
And I want to sort of keep a balance of nationalities so that we don't go into one extreme or the other. Yeah.
Yes.
So that the dialogue is a little bit more even.
Yeah, this is very important. It's some mistake that in schools like of exchange students do a lot. I went to Canada to study project management for 1 month in March, actually April of this year. And it was like very frustrating, like because we had 12 people in the room. One guy was French and 11 was Brazilian. It was like, I quit the course and I got the refund because I said, oh, it doesn't make any sense. Why I'm going to Canada to study with 11 Brazilians?
That's the sort of thing. So you're going to continue doing SEO calculations for Spencer Greenberg's Clear Thinking, and
Yes.
possibly in 2 weeks' time we will know more about where this is all headed,
Yes,
and then
I think
maybe
so.
we can crack open a bottle of champagne or whatever.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I'm quite confident in 2 weeks, and then our next conversations, the part four of our series, will be maybe the last episode with a happy ending.
The grand final, yes, the
The
grand
grand final, yes.
final. Okay. So, good luck with your keynote speech on Thursday,
Thank you.
I will speak to you again next week then. But I'm sure the occasional WhatsApp message will float across the Atlantic anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have
Okay.
a great evening.